BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Would like to mention that today we're going to be having a news roundup program. I know normally we conduct that on Fridays, but Lord willing, tomorrow we're going to be broadcasting live from the Christian Home Educators of Wisconsin Conference. It's being held in the Wisconsin Dells area. And have a number of guests from that conference, speakers that will be interviewing tomorrow on the program. And that is the plans for that broadcast for Crosstalk taking place tomorrow. So we trust you'll be able to stay tuned and be with us for that broadcast. Well, friends, just a short time ago, the Senate did vote to confirm Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson to the U.S. Supreme Court. There were three Republican senators that voted with all 48 Democrats and two independents to confirm her. That is, without surprise, Mitt Romney of Utah, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, and Susan Collins of Maine. So pending the retirement now of Justice Breyer, the new Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, starting with the next term, to be Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. Let's see. Lots of news here that we're going to present today in the broadcast. Washington Examiner, new evidence of atrocities committed against Ukrainian civilians prompted outrage around the world Monday, forcing Western leaders to threaten even more punishing sanctions, including a complete lockout of Russia's vital gas industry. The threat came after an all-out assault in Bucha, a suburb northwest of Kyiv. The city was completely charred and littered with the corpses of civilians on Sunday. Renewed allegations of war crimes came after multiple corpses were found with their wrists behind them and other signs of torture having taken place. So far, more than 410 dead civilians have been found in what Ukrainian officials are calling a planned genocide. Troubling indeed as to what's going on. On Monday, President Biden called for a war crimes trial against Vladimir Putin, reports Newsmax.com. Said he'd seek more sanctions after reported atrocities in Ukraine. He said, you saw what happened, referring to the dead bodies found there, and he added that Putin is a war criminal. He stopped short, though, of calling the actions genocide. Newsmax saying that the U.S. on Wednesday announced sanctions targeting Vladimir Putin's two adult daughters and said it was toughening penalties against Russian banks in retaliation for war crimes in Ukraine. The UK and the EU were also set to take additional steps, including a ban on new investment in Russia and an EU embargo on coal after the recent evidence of atrocities that had emerged in the wake of the retreat by Russian forces from areas around Kyiv, including this town of Bucha that we mentioned just a bit ago. In addition to sanctions against his adult daughters, the U.S. is also targeting the prime minister of Mikhail Mishustin and also and the wife of former Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, members of Russia's Security Council, including others as well. Let's see here. From Newsmax also, President Putin is reportedly using a body double to prevent an assassination. The report, the Daily Star, reports that the Russian leader is enlisting a body double for Kremlin meetings and as a decoy for excursions. His body double is believed to live in Moscow's presidential complex and has been trained to walk just like Putin. ABC News telling us that the United Nations General Assembly today voted to pass a resolution to suspend Russia from the UN Human Rights Council in response to Russian forces' alleged killings of civilians in Ukraine. The vote passed with 93 countries voting in favor, 24 voting against, 58 abstaining from voting. Some of the countries who voted against the resolution included Belarus, China, Iran, Russia, and Syria. LifeSiteNews.com telling us that amid growing evidence that COVID-19 did not have a natural origin, some experts are suggesting that the Omicron variant of the virus was also man-made. Investigative journalist Cheryl Atkinson spoke with several scientists and researchers about the more transmissible but less deadly variant and reported in a March 26 piece that some scientists examining the virus have concluded vast genetic mutations that likely occurred in a lab setting are what made Omicron spread so quickly. There was a large number of mutations in this variant, many of which were we would expect from the normal evolution of this virus, said a virologist, Andrew Pikos, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins University. He said, importantly, many mutations occurred in the spike protein, the protein that the virus uses to bind to and also enter cells, which is the target of the shot. Epoch Times saying that COVID-19 Omicron variant known as XE has been found in the UK, said the World Health Organization in a new update. The UN health body said that the subvariant is comprised of genetic material from the two Omicron strains of BA1 and BA2. So far, some 600 cases have been reported in the UK. First reported in the UK, and 600 cases so far have been found. LifeSiteNews.com, a prominent internist and cardiologist, Dr. Peter McCullough, who has frequently warned against mass vaccination against COVID-19, told Pennsylvania lawmakers during an early March hearing that up to 95% of American COVID deaths could have been prevented with early treatment. As we sit here today, my estimates are 95% of Americans who have died of COVID-19, and we're approaching nearly a million of those poor souls, and tens of millions of hospitalizations could have been avoided with a comprehensive early treatment approach, said McCullough, who testified as an expert witness in the hearing. He is distinguished as one of the most published persons in history in his field, and as an editor of two major medical journals, went on to argue strenuously against injecting children with the experimental COVID-19 shots. He said it is clear that a vaccine is being pushed, is being encouraged, and mandated that in fact results in the deaths of children, he argued. It's my viewpoint as a physician and as a public citizen that all vaccine mandates should immediately be dropped and all current vaccines be pulled from the market and undergo a very intensive review on safety and efficacy and figure out where the vaccine program has gone wrong. End of quote from Dr. Peter McCullough. Troubling story here from LifeSiteNews.com. A U.S. Army doctor who suffered from a COVID vaccine injury was fired for informing his soldiers about potential side effects from the jab. Dr. Peter Chambers described his ordeal in an exclusive March 25th interview with Steve Kirsch, founder of the COVID-19 Early Treatment Fund and of the Vaccine Safety Research Foundation. Chambers was serving as a task force surgeon for Operation Lone Star, the military border assignment between Texas and Mexico, when he started noticing vaccine injuries among the soldiers he treated. As the proportion of vaccinated soldiers started increasing from 28% to about 30-35%, he noticed serious adverse effects like neurological disorders, strokes, pulmonary embolisms, cerebral bleeds, and other injuries. He said, I had six soldiers throughout that period of time who ended up in the ICU. He himself had an adverse reaction to the Moderna COVID shot. He reported to what he saw to his superiors. I reported to the sergeant above me saying, hey, there's a lot of people having some adverse reactions to these shots. His superiors, however, dismissed his findings. Following this, he started doing some really serious counseling prior to letting soldiers receive the shot. The Army surgeon recalled that out of 3,000 soldiers who went through his session, only six ended up getting the jab. This earned him the ire of his general, who complained that Chambers' small number of vaccinated soldiers ordered him to stop giving his informed consent briefs. I had to say to him eye to eye, sir, this is an unlawful order and I will not follow that order, Chambers told Kirsch. The Army surgeon referred to Army Regulation 40-562 that states in Chapter 8, Paragraph 5, that any recipient of an EUA vaccine, emergency use authorization, or must receive the information, for example, a briefing, individual counseling, information statements required by the FDA-approved EUA, and that full compliance with this requirement is critical. He had the surgeon fire me, Chambers recalled. If we don't stop this thing, our military is going to be decimated, he said. They're destroying our soldiers. They tried to destroy me. Coming from Matt Staver at Liberty Council, a U.S. Air Force veteran who was initially denied a kidney transplant because of his COVID-19 vaccination status now has it now located a hospital in Texas that will accommodate him. Liberty Council was contacted by Adam Draper, a North Carolina lawyer who assisted Chad Carswell in locating a hospital that would not require the COVID injection. Carswell previously sought to receive a transplant from Atrium Health Wake Forest Baptist Medical Center in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, but was denied because transplant recipients and donors are required to get the COVID shot. Fortunately, Carswell now has located a medical city, Fort Worth, which does not require the shot in order for him to receive the kidney transplant. Also from Liberty Council, after a Texas judge ordered the Food and Drug Administration to accelerate the release of the data it relied on to license the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 two-dose injection, the latest documents reveal that the drug company hired about 600 additional full-time employees with plans to hire 1,800 more by June of 2021. Guess why? To process the large number of adverse events that they saw as early as February 28, 2021. The rollout of the Pfizer injection led to an unprecedented number of reported adverse effects, yet neither the drug company nor the FDA disclosed this critical information to the public. This information was contained in a more than 11,000-page document cache released April 1, 2022 by the FDA as part of the court-ordered disclosure schedule stemming from an expedited Freedom of Information Act request. The document was previously released in November 2021, but the number of employees Pfizer hired and planned to hire was redacted. Other information, too, was as far as number of doses was redacted, but now it's come out that they had hired 600 additional full-time employees with plans to hire 1,800 more by June of 2021 to process the large number of adverse events they saw as early as February of 2021. No wonder why they redacted this information. No wonder why they didn't want this information getting out. No wonder why they fought to only allow, you know, hundreds of pages a month to be released to the public instead of the thousands that the court ordered. Let's go to Breitbart.com. Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich and the Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry, Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt have filed a lawsuit against Joe Biden's administration for plans to end the Title 42 border control that has helped stem waves of illegal immigration since 2020. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention announced on May 23rd the Biden administration would end Title 42, a broad public health authority that allows federal immigration officials to quickly return border crossers and illegal aliens to their native countries. Former President Trump invoked Title 42 in 2020, the first time in American history that the order was used at the border to ensure that American citizens were protected from viral infections, diseases, and illnesses that border crossers and illegal aliens could be carrying, specifically the Chinese coronavirus. Biden officials admit that lifting Title 42 is likely to bring a massive influx of border crossers and illegal aliens to the border, with potentially 500,000 arriving at the border every single month, a more than doubling of current illegal immigration levels. More on immigration after the break. This is a news roundup on Crosstalk here on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, has the Bible been confirmed by archaeological discoveries?
In many ways it has, Chris. Many ancient artifacts have been found, and in each case they confirm the general framework given in Scripture. The Bible claims to be a book of true history, and we would expect to find historical evidence and general agreement with it. But we wouldn't expect everything to be found. Much of the Bible took place long ago, and documents would be rare. But with many turns of the archaeologist's spade, we find details that support Scripture. Yes, we can be confident that the Bible is literally true, and even better than that, it's spiritually true. The evidence we find in history enhances our confidence in its spiritual claims. It all started back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
We'll get a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. As we mentioned, Lord willing, tomorrow we're going to be broadcasting live from Wisconsin Dells at the Christian Home Educators of Wisconsin Conference taking place, and a number of guests and topics that will be derived from that discussion tomorrow. We trust you'll be able to join us for the broadcast if all goes as planned. Continuing on, though, with some of the lifting of Title 42, the Obama Department of Homeland Security chief said Biden must not lift this Title 42. I mean, he already is saying that illegal alien invasion is already unsustainable. That's by the former Secretary Jay Johnson, called it unsustainable what we're seeing right now. Well, this is interesting here from Newsmax.com. Former Trump administration officials have urged Governor Greg Abbott of Texas to declare an invasion along the southern border and give thousands of state troopers and National Guard members increased authority to deny migrants entry. KSAT 12 News reported that the official plan involved a fresh interpretation of the U.S. Constitution to enable the National Guard or state police to pick up where federal authorities leave off when Title 42 ends. So pressure being placed on the governor for that. Interesting, coming also from the governor of Texas, WND.com reporting, anticipating an unprecedented flood of illegal aliens resulting from the lifting of the Trump policy, Governor Abbott announced Wednesday his state will provide border communities with charter buses to transport the migrants to the steps of the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. Abbott said the migrants would fare better in the nation's capital, where the Biden administration can more, quote, immediately address their needs, the Texas Tribune had reported. Well, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki yesterday confirmed that Joe Biden is giving illegal aliens free, yes, taxpayer-funded smartphones. Free smartphones. Let's listen into this clip here. This would be Fox News. Peter Ducey, that is questioning at the time yesterday, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
First on immigration, our team in Texas is saying that you guys are starting to give smartphones to border crossers, hoping that they'll use the phones to check in or to be tracked. Which part of that is supposed to deter people from crossing illegally into the states?
Well, I think you of all people, since you've asked me a range of questions on this topic over time, would recognize that we need to take steps to ensure that we know where individuals are and we can track in, and we can check in with them. The Alternatives to Detention program is what we utilize as three unique forms of technology to monitor participants enrolled in the program. Telephonic, this is one of them, which is uses a participant's voice to create a biometric voice print during the enrollment process. And when the participant has a check-in call, their voice is compared to the voice print. Smart Link, which is another option, enables participant monitoring via smartphone or tablet using facial matching technology to establish identity. And Global Positioning System monitoring is of a participant's location and movement history using satellite technology through an ankle bracelet. This is all part of our effort as individuals come into the United States and individuals who are entering who will proceed to immigration proceedings to monitor and track where they are.
That is White House Press Secretary for now, Jen Psaki. But here are your tax dollars going to buy cell phones for illegal aliens entering the country. Interesting. Saying, yeah, it's for tracking purposes. Doesn't that tell you something also about use of your own smartphone? Well, from notthebee.com, there was a story, and sure enough, we checked out with the church, and it's true. I mean, this critical race theory, folks, has just gone off the charts. The First United Church of Oak Park, Illinois, has announced it will be fasting from whiteness for Lent by abstaining from performing any hymns composed or written by Caucasian musicians. Matter of fact, in a press statement, they say our Lenten theme has spurred considerable discussion, with some people questioning the message. In practice, with the Lenten spiritual discipline of fasting, our intent was to lay aside our usual frames of reference and open ourselves to hearing the gospel message through the voices of black people, indigenous people, and people of color. Our worship services in Lent have been diverse and beautiful. We pray that God oils the hinges of our heart's doors, that they might swing open gently to receive the good news of Christ's resurrection, which we all await at the culmination of Lent. Indeed, purging themselves from, well, actually fasting from whiteness. And it doesn't end there. Is Robert Spencer also pointing out that Carlo University recently hosted an event entitled Rejecting White Christianity, featured a speaker who argued that white people should crucify their whiteness, called for the embrace of hopelessness, and urged people to ethically lie to make right for past wrongs. This was an event going on when 8 people out of 10 white evangelicals voted for a person, they're referencing a vote to Donald Trump, was completely against everything Christianity stands for. I don't know what Christianity they are practicing, but I want nothing to do with that Christianity. He then distinguishes white theology and ethics from Latinx ethics, and noted that the term white does not refer to skin pigmentation, but is an ontological concept. Wow. Okay, let's see. Let's move on to another topic here. Yes, the U.S. is looking to boost our Canadian oil imports. But guess what? President Biden says no more pipelines. He does not want to expand pipeline use. The Biden administration is looking for ways to increase the amount of crude oil it imports from Canada, according to Wall Street Journal sources. But Keystone XL, hey, that idea is just nixed. Canadian crude oil is a relatively close substitute in weight for the Russian crude that the U.S. banned after Putin invaded Ukraine. But additional pipelines are not one of the methods that the White House is considering to transport the crude to the U.S. The only other options for increased imports from Canada are increasing the flows through existing pipelines and shipping the crude oil by rail. Both options are limited in their capacity, and rail transport comes at a steeper cost. Canada has said that most of its pipelines are running at or near full capacity. It has the ability to send an additional 200,000 barrels per day to the U.S. via rail, but at a greater cost than shipping it via pipeline. Yeah, put it on rail and just think of all that carbon emissions going up into the air as a result as well. Isn't that when you find that they're talking out of both sides of their mouth? We don't want the pipeline. Instead, you know, rushing it down through this pipe, instead, send it by rail. You think of the additional environmental hazard available there? Washington Examiner reports a new report that claims President Biden has told people he wants former President Donald Trump to be prosecuted. The leak was published in the New York Times on Saturday as Democrats mount increasing pressure on the Justice Department to take action against Trump and people within his orbit in relation to the so-called Capitol riot. The House committee investigating the issue says that its investigators have reason to believe that Trump and his associates broke multiple laws in efforts to overturn the 2020 elections. The panel said it has evidence to show Trump may have engaged in a criminal conspiracy to defraud the U.S. and illegally impede Congress counting of electoral votes. May have. Isn't that what we heard from all these committees when they impeached him as well? May have done this. May have. Nevertheless, the House committee can only make a criminal referral, leaving the onus on the Justice Department. Trump and his associates have repeatedly denied any criminality related to that event on the Capitol on January 6. Speaking of January 6, Western Journal reporting that a federal judge yesterday acquitted a New Mexico man of misdemeanor charges that he illegally entered the U.S. Capitol and engaged in disorderly conduct after he walked into the building during last year's riot. They say U.S. District Judge Trevor McFadden issued the verdict from the bench. Martin did not dispute that he joined hundreds of other people in entering the Capitol building. The judge said Martin's actions were about as minimal and non-serious as anyone who was at the Capitol on January 6. Martin testified that a police officer waved him into the building after the riot erupted. A prosecutor dismissed that testimony as being nonsense. Well, the judge, however, said video shows two police officers standing near the rotunda doors and allowing people to enter as Martin approached the doors. One of the officers appeared to lean back before Martin placed a hand on the officer's shoulder as a possible sign of gratitude, the judge said. McFadden described Martin's testimony as largely credible. From Breitbart, former President Trump has enthusiastically endorsed former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin in her run to fill Representative Don Young's congressional seat, called her a wonderful patriot. From Just the News, Special Counsel John Durham is revealing new smoking gun evidence, a text message that shows a Clinton campaign lawyer lied to the FBI while putting the courts on notice that he is prepared to show the effort to smear Donald Trump of now disproven Russian collusion allegations was a conspiracy. In a bombshell court filing late Monday night, Durham for the first time suggested Hillary Clinton's campaign, her researchers, and others formed a joint venture or conspiracy for the purpose of weaving the collusion story to harm Trump's election chances and the start of his presidency. These parties acted as a joint venture, therefore should be considered as co-conspirators, he wrote. Durham also revealed that he unearthed a text message showing Hillary Clinton's campaign lawyer Michael Sussman falsely told the FBI he was not working on behalf of any client. Well, text messages are revealing otherwise. National Review says a witness in the ongoing Hunter Biden investigation was recently asked to identify the individual who's referred to as the big guy in an email exchange detailing the equity distribution stemming from the president's son deal with a Chinese Communist Party-linked energy company. During a confidential hearing, the witness was reportedly shown a piece of evidence, asked to clarify this cryptic individual. A source with knowledge of the proceedings told the New York Post, the big guy alias appears in an email obtained by the Post in October of 2020, in which one of Hunter Biden's business associates, James Gillier, pitched the equity stakes for key players in a firm created for a joint venture with CEFC China Energy Company in March of 2017. It read, 10 held by H for the big guy. H, of course, believing to stand for Hunter. Biden's business partner, Tony Bobulinski, who was brought in to structure the deal, publicly identified the big guy as Joe Biden when the emails came to light in the run-up to the 2020 election. Newsmax is reporting that the conservative activist who gave lawmakers and news outlets Hunter Biden's laptop says he has recovered more than 120,000 deleted emails, 80,000 images, and a huge cache of new data from Hunter Biden's laptop. Jack Maxey, who previously worked as a researcher for The War Room, that's a podcast by Steve Bannon, told the Daily Mail that he recently fled from the U.S. to Switzerland, fearing retaliation from the White House. I came here, that is to Zurich, so that we could do a forensic examination of Hunter's laptop safely in a country that still respects human liberty and the ideals of liberal democratic principles, he told the Daily Mail. The publication said he plans to post all the content online in a searchable database in the coming weeks. Also, the scandals of Hunter Biden have been impacting his family, even his father, now Joe Biden, reports WND.com. But now there's concern also being raised that they will hit Attorney General Merrick Garland, who has before pledged to protect the Justice Department from such conflicts and avoid even the appearance of political influence, according to a new column from popular legal commentator Jonathan Turley. But conflicts now abound with a federal investigation of possible criminal behavior on Hunter Biden's part and Joe Biden's insistence that his son did nothing wrong. Well, friends, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want you to hear testimony, a message that was delivered by Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson on at the U.S. Capitol covering this whole issue of Hunter Biden's laptop. It's a story that national media is not picking up. They're not reporting on this issue. We'll have it for you exactly. You can hear in Ron Johnson's own words what he had to say. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Socialism has crept into the United States not by accident, but systematically and deliberately. In a March 2022 VCY rally, William Federer delivered a stirring 90-minute PowerPoint presentation, The Dangerous Slide Toward Socialism. Bill took a look back at the history of socialism and its impact around the world. He also read many of the socialist goals read into the congressional record in the 1960s and how these goals either have been or are being implemented today. Bill also provided a warning to America about the dangers of this socialistic pathway we are on. VCY is making available a DVD of this presentation that includes his PowerPoint for a donation of $15. See with your own eyes the quotes and the impact of socialism on a society. Audio CDs are available for a donation of $10. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829.
It's a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. Again, Lord willing, tomorrow we'll be broadcasting from the Christian Home Educators event taking place in Wisconsin Dells, and a conference taking place there. We'll have a number of speakers, Lord willing, that will be with us, joining us on air. So doing a news roundup today, so much taking place. But one of the things that the national media is just covering up, coverage of the Hunter Biden laptop. It is rarely mentioned, if ever, and it's been suppressed not only through national media, but by social media sites like Facebook and Twitter, the latter of which also locked the newspaper's account for more than 2 weeks, the Epoch Times reports. But I'd like you to hear what Senator Johnson had to say, what the national media is not allowing you to hear.
Well, Senator Grassley and I have shown over the course of 6 speeches are the actual bank records of financial transactions tying President Biden's son, Hunter, and his brother, James, to businesses that are essentially the arms of the communist Chinese regime. But the Biden business ventures include activities in many more countries than just China. In our September and November 2020 reports, we showed a vast web a Biden family foreign financial entanglements that were largely ignored by the media and falsely labeled Russian disinformation by our Democrat colleagues. As outrageous as the suppression of our reports and the false attacks were, perhaps the most egregious behavior came from 51 former intelligence agency officials who lent their names and reputations to an effort designed to convince the American public that Hunter Biden's laptop had, quote, all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation, unquote. Without any evidence backing their assertion, they engaged in their own, quote, information operation, unquote, by signing a public letter right before the election. Their letter was actual disinformation, coming from what are supposed to be trusted former members of our U.S. intelligence agencies. They should all be shamed and held accountable for spreading this disinformation. By signing that disinformation letter, they reinforced false claims that the records on the laptop were not legitimate. By casting doubt on evidence of the Bidens' corrupt practices, these former intelligence officials interfered in the 2020 election to a far greater extent than Russia could have ever hoped to achieve. Their willing accomplices in the press amplified this disinformation letter, and by doing so, were equally guilty of egregious election interference. In August 2020, I wrote a public letter detailing the history, purpose, and goals of my oversight investigations. In that letter, I laid out the timeline of Joe and Hunter Biden's involvement in Ukraine. The timeline is very revealing. It starts in February 2014. That was the month of the Revolution of Dignity in Ukraine. 2 months later, on April 16, 2014, then Vice President Biden met with his son's business partner, Devin Archer, who is now a convicted felon at the White House. I just want to pause and just let that sink in a little bit. Devin Archer is now a convicted felon. He got a meeting in the White House with the Vice President of the United States. That's kind of a big deal. The press didn't ask many questions. 5 days after that meeting in the White House, April 21st, Joe Biden visited Ukraine, and the media described him as, quote, the public face of the administration's handling of Ukraine. The next day, on April 22nd, Devin Archer joined the board of Burisma. What a coincidence. On April 28th, 6 days later, British officials seized $23 million from the London bank accounts of Burisma's owner, Mykola Vlochevsky. Let that sink in a little bit. 6 days after Devin Archer joined the board of Burisma, a day after Vice President Biden visited Ukraine, which was 5 days after he met with Devin Archer in the White House, British officials seized $23 million from the corrupt owner of Burisma. On May 13, 2014, 3 weeks later, Hunter Biden joined the board of Burisma. What a coincidence. Because of the findings in our reports and the excellent investigative journalism on the part of John Solomon, we also now know that Hunter was involved with Elena Baterina, the corrupt and now sanctioned wife of the former mayor of Moscow, during the exact same period of time. On February 14th, 2014, Baterina wired $3.5 million to Rosemont Seneca Thornton, an investment firm co-founded by Hunter Biden. Between April 4th and April 5th, 2014, again, the same month that Joe Biden met with Devin Archer in the White House, Devin became a member of the board of Burisma. Hunter Biden and Devin Archer sent emails about meeting with Baterina, potentially relating to a business deal in Chelsea, New York. On April 13, 2014, 9 days before Devin Archer joined the board of Burisma, Hunter Biden and Devin Archer discussed a potential deal involving Baterina. Archer wrote to Baterina, quote, confirmed green light to fund deposit, unquote. Archer continued, quote, just spent 2 hours on the phone with Kiev. I am confident at this point this is a good, if not life-changing, deal if the Ukraine doesn't collapse in the meantime. It's quite interesting to see how much significant activity involving the Bidens and corrupt actors in Russia and Ukraine occurred within a six-week period, only 2 months after the Ukrainian Revolutionary Dignity. It sure looks like they intended to cash in on the turmoil in Ukraine. In my August 2020 letter, I listed a number of questions about then-Vice President Biden's interaction with Hunter Biden's business partner and other family members' foreign financial dealings. In making this letter public, my hope was that the press, the very uninquisitive press, would begin to ask then-President's candidate Joe Biden these important and legitimate questions. It should come to no surprise that the corporate media was completely uninterested and failed to conduct any investigative journalism. Nearly 2 years after I wrote this public letter, the mainstream media has still not adequately pressed President Biden for answers to these very legitimate questions. For example, number one, why did Joe Biden meet with Devin Archer at the White House on April 16, 2014? What did they discuss? Did they discuss anything related to Ukraine, Hunter Biden, or Burisma? Number two, was Joe Biden aware that Devin Archer joined the board of Burisma 6 days after that meeting, 1 day after he visited Ukraine? Three, does Joe Biden believe Burisma and its owner are corrupt? Number four, when did Joe Biden first become aware that Hunter Biden also joined the board of Burisma? Five, when did Joe Biden first become aware of how much money Hunter Biden was being compensated by Burisma. Senator Grassley, my report showed it was close to $4 million. Number six, what does Joe Biden know about Hunter or James Biden's dealings with China? Number seven, what does Joe Biden know about financial benefits his brother and sister-in-law have obtained because of their relationships to him? Investigative reporter John Solomon has added a few more questions to my list, including what? Number one, what, if anything, did Joe Biden know about his son's dealings with Russian oligarch Alina Batarina? Number two, in 2017, series of memos referred to a Chinese business deal that involved Hunter Biden and included a 10% equity for the, quote, big guy, unquote. What did Joe Biden know about this specific deal, and who was, quote, the big guy, unquote? Number three, emails on Hunter Biden's laptop, now in the possession of the FBI, refer to shared accounts or bills between Joe Biden and Hunter. Did Hunter ever give Joe Biden any money, gift, or financial benefit from Hunter's business dealings? After a long overdue analysis, the New York Times and Washington Post have finally admitted that records from Hunter's laptop are authentic, which means, although they will never admit this, the Senator Grassley and I were right, and they were wrong. It is interesting to read how limited and muted their mea culpas are. My guess is that they learned a lot from their coverage of Nixon's Watergate scandal cover-up. They learned that when you've been caught in a cover-up, and that is what has happened here, you try to limit the damage by telling a little bit of the truth. In the intelligence world, this strategy is called, quote, a limited hangout, unquote. The Watergate co-conspirators called it, quote, a modified limited hangout, unquote. Regardless of what you call it, what the New York Times and the Washington Post are doing is not telling the whole truth. I doubt they ever will. But just in case they decide to pursue the truth with a little bit more rigor, they can use the above list of relevant questions as a good starting point for what they should be asking President Biden. For our part, Senator Grassley and I will continue to ask tough questions, review more information and records, and transparently provide that information to the American public. We intend to pursue and uncover the truth.
U.S. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin making that address here pertaining to the Hunter Biden laptop and all the connections and issues that have been going on and information that mainstream media is just not putting out there before this nation, in issues that are indeed going on. Friends, we're going to open our phone lines here on Crosstalk. If you'd like to comment, we've covered a lot of stories. I've got enough material before me for another full news roundup program today that doesn't appear we're going to get to. But our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. If you want to comment on any of these or current event stories here today, 800-733-9829. Some unsettling news this past Wednesday afternoon as the news began to leak out of our nation's capital. The information flow picked up on Thursday with major outlets reporting that D.C. police discovered five aborted babies at the home of an anti-abortion, that's a pro-life activist in Capitol Hill. We understand that the group received the babies from a whistleblower from within a local abortion clinic. According to a press release, they privately arranged for the Metropolitan Washington, D.C. Police Homicide Unit to pick up five recently discovered late-term aborted babies for forensic examination. Their late gestational age as well as their apparent sustained injuries potentially show violations of the Partial Birth Abortion Act as well as the Born Alive Infants Protection Act. Republican senators are calling for a full investigation. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, Todd Benzman was on my broadcast. He's the author of the book, America's Covert Border War. subtitled The Untold Story of the Nation's Battle to Prevent Jihadist Infiltration. Todd came on my broadcast more than 2 weeks ago and warned, well before the national media even picked up on it, that Title 42 was about to be canceled. This was a Trump administration policy that kept illegal immigrants out of the United States due to COVID. May 23rd, it's set to be canceled. And now even the Biden regime's own DHS is admitting this will bring 18,000 illegals over our border a day who get instant, well, sanctuary right here in the U.S. At 18,000 a day, that's about 540,000 a month. We could easily see 5, 6 million in our country before the end of the year. This is a massive national security threat. I'm Brandon House.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America and taking your calls here today during this final segment. A lot of issues going on across our nation today. And we're going to pick up right away in Washington. Philip, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Thank you. I have a question. Why are we not taking this to the Supreme Court? This is the second time that both Hillary Clinton and Biden have violated the Constitution. Why are we not taking them to court on treason? Yeah. These are treason acts.
And very well may get to that point here, Philip, because what we're doing is Senator Johnson and Grassley, some of this information has just recently been discovered, plus the emails that have just been recovered just within the last days. And so their investigation is continuing going on here, and no doubt we're going to see court action. That's one of the stories that I covered today, is that the U.S. Department of Justice is likely going to have to recuse themselves from this for a special prosecutor to come into this because of Merrick Garland's pledge, you know, not to have any conflict of interest, whereas the president has said that Hunter has done nothing wrong. So,
of course he would say that.
Exactly.
That's not why you filed. And
exactly.
Why are you not putting this stuff in writing so we can have the information and distribute it to other people?
Well,
and get
Philip,
everyone going on it.
Thank you, Philip. But I just verbalized everything. I gave documented the sources where it came from. So it certainly is out there, but we do not have written transcripts of our broadcast here. But thank you for the call. Jim is next in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, I would just like to urge all, especially the Wisconsin residents here, to flood Senator Tammy Baldwin's office. You can call her Madison number and actually talk to a person. I've been calling today about all this information, Title 42.
Yeah.
She needs to stand up and say, we can't let Mr. Biden do this. And as far as Hunter Biden laptops and all these hearings that Mr. Johnson, her colleague, is presenting, is she in on these hearings? And what's her response to this as well? But flood her office with your disgust of what's going on. And she needs to really do something about this.
Well, I appreciate that, Jim. And you're calling, of course, from Wisconsin. But this would behoove listeners, and no matter what state they're in, to contact their own two U.S. senators on this issue.
Yes.
Thank you for the call. Let's see, we've got Rebecca next in Ladysmith, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Did you hear the story? I just heard it on NPR because I was coming over to this radio station, and it stops. My radio does on NPR, and then they were talking about Trump and Mar-a-Lago, that a huge cache of top-secret U.S. government documents were discovered there today. So they're making a big story out of that. I can't help but think they're trying to change the narrative of what, like, it's a plant, because I just don't trust our FBI
would you think?
At all.
I mean, when's the last time you heard them utter the words laptop?
It was not about laptop. It's that Trump has these top secret U.S. government documents, like he's not, it was illegal for him to have them, and he's storing them at Mar-a-Lago, and some were labeled top secret. So they're investigating that, but that was like this dramatic story that NPR is talking about today at noon. You might want to like hear or, you know, research and figure out what that was about, but I'm sure you're going to hear about that soon.
Thank you, Rebecca. We've got Kyle in Ardmore, Oklahoma. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I heard the intro. That is just terrible about those found children on one point. That's was not why I was calling. But mm-hmm. with regard to Hunter Biden, you know, there's nothing else that proves the point any better than I think the only solution to quote unquote investigating anything that's been done wrong or sources of corruption, we must pass convention of states in this country because I'm just getting to the point where I don't even trust our congressmen or congresspeople or senators to do the right thing, to not simply investigate, but actually prosecute wrong. And I just can't imagine how many more details or how many more laptops need to be found by such a sick individual as Hunter Biden and the obvious corruption that's gone on for us to not take action and be accountable to the American taxpayer. I'll hang up and be done, but I just, man, we have got to do something, and that's where all this leads back to. People want to know, what can they do? Well, you need to call, and you need to tell your congresspeople we need a convention of states because we will always be hamstrung with whoever's in power not doing the right thing and throwing the book at those people that have brought such corruption to our country.
And Kyle, how would the convention of states solve this issue?
Because every state and state legislators can wake up and we can – I believe it's either a supermajority, you know, in that 67% tile area, and states could actually demand not just prosecution, but actually demand open court pursuit when corruption like this has been outed. And we've been sitting on the Hunter Biden story, and the media have been sitting on the Hunter Biden story for well over 2 years now, and nothing's really happened with it at all.
Yeah.
So
well, and it's only thanks to people like Senator Johnson and Senator Grassley that are digging into this issue and making it public. Because the majority of the party in the House and Senate don't want this information going out. The mainstream media doesn't want it getting out either. And so I'm thankful for the likes of Senator Johnson who's making this public.
Without a doubt. And Senator Cruz pounds a drum every day that he's given the chance.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the rest of the Republicans on these topics? Why are they hiding out? I mean, again, I totally receive that some of them are hamstrung from, you know, if they don't hold the majority, okay, then there's only so much you can do. But the convention of – if we can get convention of states in this country, then the people will receive back the power to be able to push through what ought to get done.
Well, and as you said, though, as if you can get two-thirds, I think you had mentioned, or 67% to go with it, and that's another big question mark at this point. But I am out of time. Thank you, Kyle, for your call here today. And to others calling in as well, I apologize. We've run out of time, but we thank you for joining us here for our news roundup here today on Crosstalk. So much more going on, even than what we were able to present through the program today. But these news roundups, we try to give just a wide perspective of matters going on. And friends, let's continue to be salt. Let's be light for the Lord. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.